You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, the at least weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients while having a great work-life balance. Today we talk especially to all those that belong to any European association within statistics. And by the way, you can become a member of these organizations, even if you're outside of Europe. When you do, you can become accredited. And so stay tuned for a really, really insightful discussion with Magnus on that. Accreditation is really, really important. And of course, part of the accreditation process is always that you also further invest into your skills, into your technical skills, into your non-technical skills, your influencing skills, your presentation skills, your networking skills, your conflict management, your negotiation skills, all these kind of different things. And you can find lots of free resources around that, of course, also our premium courses on the Effective Statistician Academy. Just head over to theeffectivestatistician.com where you find the show notes of this episode as well as all the information around the courses. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, who of course also has lots of content and where you can also become accredited based on all the things that you do there. Just join PSI today to further develop all your different statistical capabilities. For example, through the video on demand content library, through the PSI webinars, through the PSI conference, all these kind of different things. Head over to psiweb.org to learn more about PSI and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode of the Effective Statistician. Today I'm talking with Magnus Pettersson about really important initiative that I heard already some months ago via Katharina Schüler, who has been on the podcast earlier. And today I'm super happy to talk with Magnus about this topic. So Magnus, before we dive into this topic, maybe you can quickly introduce yourself.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much, Alexander. I'm very happy to be a part of your pod. I'm a statistician. I have been working as an applied statistician and consultant since 1998. So it was, in fact, my 25th anniversary this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Time flies when you're having fun, Albert. So obviously, I've had a very fun, very long and amusing career as far as this is. And I've been working with plenty of different forms of statistics. When I started studying, I was mainly focusing on biostatistics. But afterwards, I have also been into engineering applications and also survey applications. And this led me to see the beauty and the interest of statistics as a mediator between different forms of application. So I don't want to limit myself into one field and saying that I'm just a biostatistician. I'm a general statistician from a general point of view. Well, and when I left the university, I started working as a consultant for a consultancy company together with two former colleagues. They founded this company just 2 years before I started. And well, as time goes by, they have retired and left me in charge of the business. So I'm right now operating a small consultancy company in Göteborg on the Swedish West Coast. And what we do is statistics, mathematics, and advanced applications and advanced programming in R and SAS. And that's what we do.
Cool. Very good. Awesome. And you're also quite involved with FENSTATS. Can you talk a little bit about what that is? And you're also quite involved into FENSTATS. Can you talk a little bit about what that is?
Yes. Do you mean my involvement or FENSTATS?
Let's start with FENSTATS.
Yes. FENSTAT is a federation between national statistical associations in Europe. So I was first interested in the Swedish Statistical Association, which forms an association for statisticians in Sweden. And Swedish Statistical Association is a member of FENSTAT, just like many other similar organizations. And FENSTAT is organizing some conferences, organizing some international cooperation between statisticians within particularly European Union, but also the European Union and some other countries around the European Union, like Switzerland and Norway are also members. And one of these fields of interest that the FENSTAT is working with is the accreditation of statistician, which is something that I got into and have been working quite a lot with the last years.
Okay, accreditation is an interesting topic. Mm? Why did FENSTAT actually introduce accreditation in the first place?
Well, the reason, the motivation for accreditation is that one common argument is that you have a university degree. Isn't that sufficient? And I would say that there is an additional skill set that is added onto the accreditation. And in my opinion, what we add is adding experience in especially applied fields of statistics, showing that you have not only the university degree with all these theoretical skills that you need, but you also have proven that you can also apply this. You can work in a non-statistical field, and you can explain to people who are not statisticians, and you can also understand their questions and their problems. And there is no defined or protected professional naming of statisticians. Mm-hmm. Basically, anyone can call themselves a statistician. And I think that's a problem.
Okay.
And I've been thinking this is a problem in many years. It was even before the emergence of data scientists, which I think is one interesting competing skill that you can have. But I think it's important that and this has to do with ethics. It has to do with quality, and it also has to do with a sort of a professional stature that you should be able to have sort of a strength when you express your statistical conclusions.
I think it can also play a big role in terms of public understanding and working with the press or the media in general. Whenever I see someone on the media that calls themselves an expert, well, expert is kind of the loose thing that can mean everything and anything. Mm-hmm. But an accreditation is a much more kind of clearly defined process. Mm-hmm. So how does this process of accreditation actually look like?
Mm-hmm. We have more or less taken inspiration from the American Statistical Association and Royal Statistical Society. And this accreditation is not an education. It is not a test. It is a so-called third-party accreditation, which means that you gather the documentation that you think explains why you should be accredited. Mm-hmm. And this documentation is then audited by somebody who can say that this is sufficient proof for your accreditation status. And what you need here, there are the criteria that is needed is that to begin with, you should have an education, a university mm-hmm. degree on a master level at the Bologna level. And in statistics, you can come around this if you have lots of statistics and some other degree. It doesn't necessarily need to be called statistics, but it has to be included a lot of statistics, and it should be on a master level. Secondly, you need to have 5 years' work experience, mm-hmm. and this is basically proven by an ordinary CVs and recommendations. And then then comes the more difficult part, and that is the communication skills and the ongoing development of your professionality. And this is something that have been discussed. How can you prove this, and why is this important? And the criteria now is that you should submit at least some sort of documentation showing that you can describe statistical issues in an applied kind of sense.
Teaching can be counted as communication, for example. Also, you need this what we call professional development, which is also a very complicated criteria. But what you should include is that after you have your university degree, you should at least list what you have done to improve yourselves and your competence as a professional worker. It doesn't mean that you need to take additional statistical courses or that you should go to classes with, I don't know, SAS Institute or whatever. It could include many other things, like if you have project leadership, if you go, for example, if you're a Six Sigma Black Belt, if you are mentoring new statisticians, but it could also include, for example, that you're managing roles in your company or managing role if you're coaching your children's soccer team, for example. That's also a management role where you get the skill set that you can bring back to work.
Mm-hmm. Does that also, for example, include running cross-company organizations? Like we have lots of these kind of special interest groups, or we have, you know, other forums, working parties, things like that.
Absolutely. And the motivation for this is that all these kind of things that you're doing will make you a more efficient and skilled statistician in your professional role. Because if you have somebody who's coming to you asking for advice and want help in, I don't know, whatever application you're working in, and you don't have the pedagogical skills so you can explain the solution. You don't have the pedagogical skills so you can understand the question. You don't have the project leader skills and the ability to write in clear in your language. In that case, it's very difficult for you to be a professional statistician. And I think that this is important. And this was one of the things that especially ASI was stressing as very, very important, that you needed this kind of skills. And of course, any kind of cross collaborations, whatever is counted. Mm-hmm. And there's no quantification of this. There's nothing that you need to be, you need to do a certain amount or something like that. But you need to list them. You need to show that this is something that is ongoing, and that you haven't stopped learning yourself, teaching it.
So, for example, participation in conferences, active participation in conferences, especially kind of presentations, posters, these kind of things.
That can count as both communication and work experience, since you're preparing something, communication, of course, as you're presenting something, and also professional development, since you're participating in some sort of cooperation with people. That's definitely count.
I know
that the criteria that has caused the most trouble is actually the education criteria, since we have noted that within the European Union, there are plenty of different forms of education systems, and they're still not that unified, even in spite of the Bologna process. It's not 100% unified, and there are lots of people with older degrees who have an older degree before the Bologna process, and they are causing a lot of discussions, and we think that there should be ways around, of course.
So if I, for example, here in Germany, submit an accreditation. How do you call that? An application? Yeah. Who reviews that?
If you in Germany wants to apply, you have to be a member of one. There is a two-tier system here. FENSTATS is cooperating with the National Statistical Associations. So there is one criteria that you need to be a member of one of these national associations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that DStatsG is a member, for example.
Yeah.
And that means you submit your application at FENSTATS. So we have an application portal where you upload all your credentials. And then when this is final, it will be sent to the German Statistical Association, and they have a group of auditors. They will select one who will go through your application. And if everything looks okay, they will simply recommendate approval. If there's something missing, they will contact you again and say that I don't think this is sufficient, or I don't understand this. Why? What do you mean? And you get we don't directly reject we give you a chance to reapply and to resend and refill everything. And then once there is a recommended decision, we have a working group in Fenstat that will make the last call and approve the application. And there is one interesting part here, which is a very European problem. We discussed it with the American Statistical Association a lot, and they have a group of, I think it is 20 or 30 auditors reading the applications. But one of the things that has been important in the discussions when we develop this system is that you need to be able to apply in your home language. If you, for example, have all your documentation, all your work has been done in German, for example, you should still be able to apply, which means that we need to have somebody who can both read and understand your German text and also understand the context. I mean, if you refer to a company in Germany, for example, or refer to a person in Germany, you need to have somebody who understands the German context to understand whether this is sufficient or not.
Yeah,
and that's one of the reasons, mostly in English anyway, but we said that it was very clearly decided that this has to cover this multilingual situation.
Yeah, that is definitely a topic, and with also different local languages in Europe.
Yes.
Very different to the UK or to the US. In terms of the application process and also the requirements for the accreditation, we'll put a link to the corresponding homepage into the show notes. So you can easily find it there. It's actually very easy, fenstats.eu/accreditation. But we'll also put it in the show notes. Okay, so by the way, there's also a little fee for the accreditation of 100 euros, which I think is completely reasonable.
It's still discounted to 80, actually.
Okay. And then that's very, very easy. One of the things that I want to talk with you also about is workshops around doing the accreditation kind of process together. You offered that you will run such a workshop at the upcoming conference of the Effective Statistician in November. What does that workshop actually include? What are the benefits of people attending that workshop?
We've had lots of this. There is actually lots of people who have started their application and haven't finalized them, and we have been discussing the reason for that, and we have sent out several questionnaires asking the questions what is the biggest threshold, which is the biggest complication. And I think that if we have such a workshop, it could be both a learning process for the accreditation committee to understand the obstacles, but it could also be possible for those who think that, yes, I'm 80% there, I'm just lacking this and this and this, and it makes it very complicated. And we could simply sit down and discuss this and see if we can find some sort of solution. I know that, for example, the recommendation letters has been causing a lot of complication, but the reason for the recommendation letter is actually twofold. One is that we need somebody outside to give some sort of recommendation about your professionality and some sort of statement that, yes, this is true what he says in the application, because we cannot check everything. It doesn't work. It won't work. That person who is doing this recommendation doesn't need to be a statistician. It could be if you're the only statistician working for let's say a medical device company, for example, your manager or your colleague could write this recommendation. And this is something that many people have a lot of trouble with. And I think that the reasons for that is that they sometimes think that this has to be another statistician. And can really my manager vouch for my statistical skills? Yes, he's reading my reports and he trusts them, but does he actually know whether I'm telling the truth or not? And this is something that we have been discussing, a way of making this work in the way that it was intended. And the intention is that you should it should be somebody who could at least vouch for that most of the parts of your application, as far as you know, is correct. And this is a person who I have been working with, communicating with, who actually have been able to tell me things from a statistical point of view that sounds trustworthy and seems reliable. And we try to avoid it. We had a discussion whether we should make a form with cross markings and please fill out this and answer this question. But we say that there are so many various fields, and it could be very easy to do that if we just limit this to one application. And we don't want that. So we have to leave this open. But I think that this is one of the questions that would be interesting to discuss in such a workshop.
Yeah.
Also, there have been this discussion that you mentioned with corporations. I was myself, when I applied for a professional statistician with ASI, I was asking, what kind of professional development do you count? And they said that everything that's good, that you can bring to work that makes you a better statistician, a better professional. And I told him that I've been on my spare time, I've been working quite a lot with a Boy Scout group, or a Boys and Girl Scout group, in Sweden, and even been a master of our local group. And I said that, does this bring something to work? And I said, yeah, it has taught me a lot of leadership skills.
Yeah.
Which is something that makes you more trustworthy, more efficient, more reliable, more ethical. Everything that is needed as a statistician, apart from, of course, being able to do the calculation.
Yeah, definitely.
This is something that we want to stress. So and the reason, we also have the fifth criteria, which is ethical standards. And this is also something that we want to stress. Your communication standards, your ethical standards, your professionality standard. These are the most important. And then we trust that you can make the calculations properly.
Yeah. I think there's, after 5 years of work experience, that you can document that, and you should be able to do all the kind of different things around statistics. Yeah. And especially if you have also done additional professional development. And I think if I look into especially our industry of pharmaceutical, medical device, kind of the whole healthcare industry, it's quite regulated. And so everybody that works in any company probably has a CV with lots of documentation about all the different trainings that they have done. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just speaking about the trainings on, I've read the SOP on XYZ, but also all the trainings in terms of, I did this training on communication, I did this training on negotiation, I did this training in terms of learning about estimates, all these kind of different things. Yeah. People need usually to have that on file anyway. So taking it from there should make it very, very easy with lots of these applications.
I agree. And there are lots. What you need is, I mean, all these rules, these standard operating procedures and regulations that you work with. I mean, the pharmaceutical industry has lots of regulations, but I have some experience from the automotive industry, which also has a lot of regulations. And you have, in finance, you have lots of regulations. Also in public official statistics, you also have lots of regulations. And these regulations are sort of, I think they should be seen as the floor which you shouldn't be able to go under. This is the most important part, but increasing the quality, increasing the usability and the ethical standard is something that you do above this floor, something that you do where you do these things that are maybe not covered by a standard, but is better.
Yeah.
And that's important. And another thing that I think is important that we come up as often as statisticians, we have this situation where you have to choose between two, not two suboptimal solutions. And I think that this is something that where you can compare our work a lot with many other professions, Some people say that, I mean, statistics is basically mathematics with randomness, and mathematics is a very exact science, but it's there are so many places where you have these gray zones, and I compare myself sometimes to the economists who run bookkeeping for companies, where you sometimes say that yes, you can do this or you can do that. There is no correct answer. It is just two possible ways to solve this. And the same if you go to a lawyer, or if you go to a dentist, or if you go to carpenter or a plumber, they will also say that yeah, there are two or three possible solutions here.
Which is
the best? Well, I think that this is better than that one, and I say that yeah, I'm in your hands, of your professional discretion, and I think that this is something that you need to have the same situation as a statistician. That yes, it could be a Wilcoxon test or a T test. I think this is somewhere in the gray zone. Okay, thank you. I leave this to your professional discretion, and that's something that I think is important.
Yeah, completely agree. Completely agree. So in summary, I think it is a really, really great approach. Yeah, that if you're not in the ASA or in the UK, part of RSS, that's an opportunity for you to apply to this European accreditation. And by the way, lots of these European associations, you can also be a member if you're not directly located in Germany, France, or Spain, or so on. The opportunities then is for you to also to the public show that you are capable of lots of different things. And I think in general, it will help us as statisticians to be more trustworthy in general. So I think that's a great initiative, and I think it will help to build trust in our profession. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, a little bit more trust in our kind of capabilities can actually help. You probably, as a statistician, have heard about this kind of lies, damned lies, and statistics.
Sure.
I think it just speaks to this trust problem. And it's, there's only six things that you need to show, that you have at least an MSc in statistics or something equivalent, 5 years of work experience, professional development during this time, communication skills, compliance with ethical standards, and being a member of one of the FENSTED member organizations.
That's great. And
all of that is on the fensteds.eu/accreditation homepage that we'll link to in the show notes. Yes. And you will have at the conference the workshop where you can actually do all this accreditation process, get all your questions answered, and get them all uploaded and get them all out of your hands so that it doesn't become a hassle and it doesn't kind of stay on your to-do list forever. I know how these things are. It is, you put it on your to-do list and then there's always something else that comes up, and therefore kind of putting in some time for you to do that during the conference will be quite nice. Thanks so much for that help. Any final thoughts that you would like to give to the listener on this topic?
Not more than that if you are a statistician, I think that you should apply for the accreditation. It's a way of enhancing, in my opinion, the professional status of statisticians. And I think that I often get many questions about artificial intelligence nowadays, and in my opinion, most of artificial intelligence is based on statistics, but I think that there are lots of things where classical statisticians are still needed, because it doesn't become more true just because you have more data and do more for more efficient use more and more efficient analysis methods, actually. I'm an AI skeptic, actually. So.
Yeah, especially in this AI data science discussions. Yeah, building more trust is
definitely helpful. Mm. And getting some way to document your professional education and your competence. Yeah, absolutely. And competence is one of the three main pillars to build trust. Speak about this in my leadership program, actually. Okay, thanks so much. Have a great time and see you at the conference.
Thank you very much. I'll see you, Alexander.
Don't forget to check the conference and what you can do for the conference this year. That will also help you to stay up to date with lots of different things. And by the way, you can actually join at least a part of the conference for free. I'm talking about, of course, the Effective Statistician Conference number 3 that happens in November 2024. This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain and her team at VVS who helped with the show in the background, and thank you for listening. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.